want to say, Lord, again, thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you, Lord God, for the breath of life, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for, Lord, this blessing, Father, to know you, Father, just to be able to walk with you. Lord, just to be able to live in your peace, Father. Lord, we are grateful, Lord, that you have connected us, Lord, with the source of life. Lord, that you have given us purpose and reason for existence. Lord, that in all things, Father, you are in control. And Lord God, that there is nothing that we need to be worried or anxious about, Lord, because, Lord, you have everything in your hands and in your care. And as we are anxious about nothing, Father, and as we put things before you, Lord, we see your kingdom coming and your will being done in every situation. So, Lord, right now, this morning, Father, we take authority over every demonic work, every act of the devil, Lord. We break it, we bind it, we cast it out. Father, we proclaim the free flow of your Spirit in this place and in our time. And Lord God, we pray, Lord God, that you would continue to have your way, your kingdom come and your will be done. And Father, I acknowledge again openly that, Lord, there is nothing good in me but your Holy Spirit. It's to your Spirit I yield as we go forward in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, blessings to all of you in Jesus' name. You know, it's a good thing to say God bless you, even to the meanest person in the world. Because God may just bless that person with a revelation of who he is, and that person too may be your brother or sister in Christ in the near future. So if that person doesn't know Jesus, God may bless them to know him. So go ahead, say God bless you to people you don't like. Because God may just bless them to know him. Okay, John chapter 14 and verse 23 onward says, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being ye present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it came to come to pass, that when it come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk with you, for the prince of this world will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence.
Mahatma,
Okay, so you know, sometimes we quote that scripture, about Jesus saying, "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." Yes. But God gives us, even in this passage, how we can have and maintain His peace in our lives. You see that? Because so often people lack peace, but Jesus came that we might have His peace in our lives. Because in verse 27 He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." So He left peace with us and He gave it unto us. But the key to the peace of God in the life of a follower of Christ is in verse 23 onwards. Which says, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which he heard is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." So, yeah. Go ahead. Just those two. So the peace of God follows when the follower of Christ obeys the word that they hear from the Spirit of God, there is peace that follows that in the life of the follower of Christ. Now the question is, do you have peace in your life? Because if somebody lacks the peace of God in their life, they should then stop before Him and say, "Lord, why is it that I lack peace in my life?" Because you know what happens so often is when people don't understand what God said, and then they launch their life on something that He did not say, it doesn't work. And then they get mad at God because of their own misinterpretation of what they thought He said. For example, Jesus spoke very strongly during the time that He walked on the earth about the traditions of man. So Jesus, while He was walking on the earth, He spoke very strongly about that. He had some very strong words to say to the people that observed the traditions of man and put aside the Word of God. So He would speak to them and He said, "Look, you disannul the Word of God. You put aside the Word of God in order to keep your man-made traditions." And He gave several examples to them of how they had taken God's Word and they had pushed it aside to observe a system of man that they had created.
Thank you.
Now, according to this scripture, would people that observe the system of man, would they have peace?
That means,
would they have peace? Yes or no? No. No, they would not. If you observe a system of man and not the Word of God, if you are in that system, you will not have peace. So guaranteed, every day of your life, while you're here, you may be doing all the rituals, all the pujas, all the things that they are there, but at the close of all of that, you will not have a moment of peace in the core of your soul. And so that becomes something that is very hard for people to swallow. They're very difficult for them. Especially when you've done 20 years like that. Because for 20 years I've been going here and I've been doing this and I've been... But is there peace? Is there peace? Is the peace of God in your life? Because the question is there, because sometimes you meet these people, you're like, why are you so angry, so bitter, so full of confusion? Where's the joy of God in their life? Where's the fruit of the Spirit, which Galatians 5 talks about? Not something that just people put on when people are watching, but when their life, who they are all the time, where is that? Alright, verse 25 says, but these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Okay, so now we get a little bit more of an indication here. The peace of God flows from obeying the instruction and the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit. So if somebody hears the voice of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit speaks to them, and they obey, something that flows from that is peace. And if somebody hears the voice of the Holy Spirit of God and chooses to not obey that, a byproduct of that, a result of that, is no peace. Now, as you keep reading towards the end of this chapter, Jesus talks about even the crucifixion that he will go through. And as he talks about it, he says that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. And Jesus went through a very the most difficult time and window of humanity that we've ever seen in the history of mankind in the short time that would go from that point forward. But the result of him being obedient to the word of God was all of mankind now have access to peace. And Jesus himself is called the Prince of Peace. So Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. And he giving the example and the life example of how that peace comes, it comes by following the word and the instruction of God. Now we talked last week about only doing that which he saw the Father doing, right? Do you remember that one? I sometimes wonder if something carries from week to week. So God, I'm kidding, God speaks. And also when he said, look, I only do what I see the Father doing. And here we have another indication. He only does what he hears the Father instruct him to do. That's what he does. So he is called the Word of God. He is the Word that came into the world. He is that light that came into the world. And the peace of God that flows out of that relationship and that connection with the Father through Christ. So now back to 27. It says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Okay. How is it that you let not your heart be troubled and neither be afraid? How do you do that? Because you are constantly confronted with circumstances and situations that are asking you to let your heart be afraid and to let your spirit be troubled over and again every day. So on a personal level, you are constantly having things come against you. Either it may be relationships in your life, financial things that are coming up, something to do with health, you know, so all these individual things that people are going through. And then you have the bigger stuff that's happening around you in the world at large around you. So famines, floods, wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes,
Bhumikampa,
yes. So earthquakes, right? You have all kinds of stuff happening around you in the natural realm. And then you also have the demonic onslaught by the spiritual wickedness in high places that is coming against your spirit because you are a child of God. And now in the middle of all of this, Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Wait a second, Jesus, don't you see all the issues that are going on in my life and the world that's around me and all the demons and all that, right? And that's what most people end up. Most people do not allow their eyes to go to Jesus because, just like Peter, when he started walking on the water, they start looking at the surroundings. All of those things going on around them and outside of them and within their soul and all of these things, those are what they allow to take their focus and their heart, and they get their minds off of Christ. Let me show you something. Keep your finger in John 14. We'll come back there, but look, go to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. And verse 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Okay, there it is again. There, see, God puts His scripture, He says it over and again in different ways, and it all, scripture explains itself. So, the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So, notice where if you are in those places, who has your attention, who has your focus, who is speaking into your life? Have you ever heard that statement, garbage in, garbage out? No, I don't know. Does that work? I don't know. But, sorry. Garbage in, garbage out. Yeah, I know. No. Yeah, I don't know if it translates, but basically, if you take trash into your soul, trash will come out of your soul. Very, very natural example. If you eat bad, unhealthy food, how do you feel 2 hours later? If you eat garbage food and that goes into your system, you 2 hours later, you feel like somebody has drugged you, you have to take a nap, you can't do anything, you feel sick. So if you allow yourself to feed on that which does not have its heart and its mind centered with God, if that is flooding your soul, what do you expect now to come out of your soul? So for example, there are people that carry a Bible and they speak and they preach in a spirit of fear. And they, if you sit down and that person speaking in a spirit of fear sows that into your life, what do you think is now the person you become as you feed on that for week in, week out? You become a very scared, fearful person. Whereas scriptures tell us in Revelation that the fearful are outside of the kingdom. And scriptures tell us that perfect love drives out all fear. But in order to manipulate and to control you, they must use fear, and whoever it is that believes them, those are the ones they catch. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice, and they will not follow the voice of another." So the sheep of God will not follow the voice of a fearmonger. How does that work? What happens is that voice will come within your earshot. You'll hear that voice. Somewhere it'll be speaking. And in your spirit, the Spirit of God that's within you, within the temple of your being, that the Spirit of God in you, that voice that comes does not resonate with the voice that's within you. It doesn't sound the same. And so you will look at that and you'll say, well, you know, he's wearing fancy clothes and he has a cross and everything looks fine, but the voice is not the same. He has a degree on the wall, but the voice is not the same as the shepherd of my soul. Now, if you choose to ignore the Spirit of God that's quickening you like that and telling you this is dangerous, this is the voice that's not mine, this is somebody else, if you ignore that, you now put yourself in a dangerous position. By your free will, you put yourself in a dangerous position. Because in verse 1 it said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." You now put yourself in a place where you are not blessed, because you're standing, you're sitting, you're listening, you're engaged in that, opening your soul up to that. Verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So, the law of the Lord, the Word of God. So in God's Word, He meditates day and night. That relationship that we have with the Father is ongoing and persisting. Now here's how that works. Here's how this works. You will be in the Word and you will be meditating on the Word and the Spirit of God is speaking to you. And you as an individual, you as part of the priesthood of all believers that's spoken about in Peter chapter 2, verse 5 and verse 9, it's where it talks about the priesthood of all believers. And so you as one of God's priests hear the message from the Spirit of God, because the head is speaking to you. And you may have a question, you may have a concern, you may have something going on, and God is speaking to you about that. And now in the middle of that live, living relationship that you have with Him, God will also use other people in His body. And those others that are connected to the head, He will speak to them. They will speak what they hear from the Father, and that will resonate and speak into the situation that you yourself are going through at that time. And so you will sit down, you may check the radio, you may, and all of a sudden you'll be like, oh, this is what I was praying about this morning. That's the scripture that I just read. That's the conversation we were talking about just yesterday. How many of you sitting here, has that happened to you over and over again? Yes, of course. Of course. Because you and I are in the body of Christ. We hear the message that comes from the head. And so the Spirit of God that knows what's going on in you will speak through whoever is available that's part of His body to you, and He will use you to speak into their lives. The scriptures talk about this in Ephesians 4, where it talks about one joint supplieth the need of another. Where one part of the body, the Spirit that knows all things, knows what one part of the body needs, it supplies that need through each other. Now, you cannot receive that, and here's something else. Peace flows in that interaction. The peace of God happens and flows in that connection. So they will speak peace into your life. You will speak peace into their lives. Now you cannot experience that if you are feeding on fear. You cannot experience that if your life is listening to and feeding on those that are caught up in the world. Why? Because you've got all these voices now coming at you. All these different opinions. And so one is saying this, one is saying that, another one saying this, and then here's the voice of God over here, but you're not sure which one to listen to because you're all over the place. And scriptures talk about how the voice of God, it's a still small voice. Whereas all these voices in the world are very loud and very brash. And so if you entertain those voices will get very loud and will drown out your ability to hear the still small voice of God. You know those voices. You've seen the Sri Lankan politician. It's a good example. Yeah, don't give that man a microphone. Because the second you put a microphone anywhere close to him, he gets loud for nothing. As soon as the microphone gets this close, yes, like that. You've seen that. They don't know what they're saying, but because the microphone is there, which is supposed to make them louder, they think they need to get even louder. And you have cats that are meowing over your dogs are howling on the other side, the crows, everything. He doesn't know what he's saying, the crowd doesn't know what he's saying. But it's just loud. No. For the child of God, we learn to still ourselves under the hand of God and listen to the still small voice of the Spirit of God. You know, when God speaks a word into your life, there's peace that flows from that word. You know, even if it's a rebuke, even if it's God saying something to you that's hard for you to hear, there's still, if you accept and receive the word that comes from God, peace follows that. You know that. How many of you have been rebuked by God in the recently? Where the Spirit of God will speak to you about something where you have not done something right, and you realize, oh my gosh, Lord, I am so sorry, I've grieved you. Now, if you receive that rebuke and if you follow the instruction the Spirit of God tells you from there on, peace returns to your life. If you ignore the instruction of God, then what happens is now you go into another place that is not Him. And in this new place that's not Him, you have to now create something that makes you justify your life and your actions, but there's no peace there. Now, how many people have you seen that do that? How many times have you and I been dangerously close to doing that? See, one thing is, if you have a heart and a desire for truth and to follow the living God, then in the end, whatever it is that He says, that is what goes in your life. Whatever His instructions are, those are the ones that you want to follow. And if something does not flow from Him, you don't want that in your life because you know the damage that does to your soul, and that's not true. Now, you do not have to apologize for other people that do not choose the path of life. And you do not have to drown with other people because they don't choose the same path that you choose. There's nothing loving about that. There's nothing that glorifies God about that. God calls each of His sheep by name. Every time, even when it talks in Revelation 3 verse 20 that He knocks at the door, if any man, individual, He talks to each person individually, hears His voice. You know how so often what people do is they say, no, don't you know what this person did? Don't you know what that person did? No, God says, what did you do? You know when people stand before God, they won't be able to do that? You know, that is a classic Sri Lanka style. Classic Sri Lanka style. I'll show you. So in Sri Lanka, you'll say to somebody, you know, I told you to come at 8:30. And they'll say, no, you remember the time you said you were coming at 10 o'clock and you didn't come at 10 o'clock. They'll say it to you. And then you will have to defend yourself for why you didn't come at 10 o'clock 3 months ago when you talked about it. And it's nothing about the subject of what's going on today, right now, this time. Talking about something that happened months ago. No resolution, no peace. Why did you buy green fabric? No. You remember that time you told me to buy red 3 months ago? Completely unrelated. You know, you won't get a chance. People won't get that chance when they stand before God. Everything is drug into the light and everything is shown for exactly what it is. There will be no squirming, there will be no weaseling out of things. There will be no justification that people can offer in their own defense. Because in eternity, all things are known for exactly what they are. When somebody crosses into eternity, the eternal condition of the soul of that person is revealed for all all eternity for what it is. And nothing is hidden. Do you know that? You know, see, people, okay, small side note. People have, within them, there's the real person. Your soul and your spirit, the real person that you are. And then there's the outside, which is the body that we live in, that we go through this world in. And there's a way that people seek to present themselves externally. And then there is the real person that they are within. Now, when somebody is something within that's different than who they are outside, that's called a hypocrite. Jesus called that a hypocrite. He said, look, outside you pretend to be one thing, but inside the real you is something else. So when he talked to the Pharisees, he said, look, you guys outside try to present yourselves like this, and you think you've got all these people fooled, but in eternity and in reality, I know exactly what you are. So he would call them whitewashed tombs. So outside, clean and polished, but inside, full of dead men's bones. So rotting, decaying, stinking inside. No light, only death inside of them. Now when people go from this life into eternity, when they die in this world, that whitewashed tomb that's on the outside gets removed, and the only thing that you see for all eternity is what's inside. So in the case of those ones that Jesus was speaking to, unless they truly get right with the Father, unless they renounce their man-made traditions and have a real, authentic connection with Him, for all eternity, what you will see and what you will know when you see that person is a rotten, dead thing. Do you know that? That is, so for people, it's, you know, there are evil people that are evil outside and evil inside. That's much better. Because they're evil outside, they're evil inside, you know that's evil. I much prefer a person that's evil through and through, because you know exactly what you're getting. Jesus said the same thing. He said, I would rather that you be hot or that you be cold. I don't want you somewhere in the middle. I don't want you mixed bag in the middle. I don't want you somewhere in this spot where you don't know what temperature you are. But you know, the world is full of of that this day. I think more so now today than ever in the history of humanity, you have that this day. Where people that are one thing on the surface and beneath there's something entirely different going on. And there's also those that within they love God, they have a heart for Him, but outside they're rough and they've got all kinds of issues, but within they are a child of God. But inside they're a child of God. Outside they have problems, issues, all that stuff on the surface. Now when that person crosses into eternity, all the outside stuff is gone, and what you see is the heart that loves Jesus. So God calls us. What did He say to even the Pharisees? He said, look, first clean the inside of the cup, and then, you know, then everything's going to be okay. First work on what's within. So how is it that you work on what's within? So back to John 14. And if you would go on, now we don't have time today, but if you would go on and read John 15. John 15 talks about, if my words remain in you and you remain in me, you will bear much fruit, right? Ah, I see all the lights going off. Okay, so when God speaks and we obey, when the Spirit of God flows from the throne of God into our lives and into our hearts, and we of our free will choose to obey and respond to what the Spirit of God speaks to us, there is peace that flows from that. And now as you remain in that peace, and as you continue to listen to the voice of the Spirit of God, not man, but the Spirit of God speaking to you, you now are remaining in Him, and His Word is remaining in you. And as His Word remains in you, what it does is it washes your soul. It cleanses you from within. And what happens when it cleanses you from within? It pushes out all the garbage and it fills you with light and life and truth that comes from His throne. It comes with light and life and truth from the throne of God. And that is what we can live in every day of our life. And no matter what the issues are that are going on around you, within yourself and within the being that God has given you, you can have peace and you can have tremendous power that comes from the throne of God. And it flows from obedience and from walking with Him. And with that, I am out of time, so we stop there for today.